people. They did the book table. They set everything up. So the whole Crusades were run by two people. And it's amazing how you look at all their lives now and what they've been doing. Doug's been a teacher for years, and Pastor Mark being John's legs to the east, starting schools all over Europe. You know, the last names of all those schools are indicative to the nation they went to. Tim and Vicki Kilstrom went to Sweden. Tony and Patsy Caminetti went to Italy. John and Michelle Grunewald went to Germany. Chuck and Sheila Banks went to England. Their last names are all indicative of the countries they went to. John's legs to the east. So what destiny? What a time to be on the earth. You know, people say, I'd like to be here in Bible days. You're in Bible days right now. Every single day I look at stuff and I go, wow, I had no idea that would happen. That would happen. That would happen. That would happen. You get your checklist out for the coming of the Lord. And you're like, okay, we're there. And you know, David Ellis will be here tonight with Michael Howell. David Ellis is the guy that made me in California. He goes, okay, we're going to have a weekly end times update. And this lady leaned over and said to me, she was talking about you. I said, I'm not doing some weekly update. Are you crazy? And so I've been doing a weekly update for about 15 years. That's David Ellis. So, so Colleen and I moved out there just to travel out of their church, just to kind of support them and help them. And the week we moved there, I've never told this story publicly, but I'll tell it to you just because it's just we're family. The week we moved there, a man came against Pastor David, and he took me lunch. He goes, let me just tell you, this is what he said to me in front of my face. He said, let me just tell you, the strength that you feel when you come into our church, it's me. I said, actually, I think it's Jesus. I said, I like you, but no, the Lord is the strength you feel when you come into David's church. So that man attacked Pastor David, and we were there to try to help him, to gird him up and protect Wendy. And it was just, there's always a weird attack from the people closest to you. You know how that goes. But that's all right. The attack comes because you're doing something right, not because you're doing something wrong. So think it not strange if you have opposition. I mean, that's all right. Paul said, this light affliction is but for a moment. It works us a far more and exceeding eternal weight of glory while we look not at things which are seen, but things which are not seen. So you got to pay attention to what you look at. Yes. If you get caught up looking at the natural things, you get frustrated and agitated, but that's just a lie. I mean, Jonah was in the belly of a whale, said, this is a lying vanity. Right. Norval used to say that. You know Norval Hayes? Everybody remember Norval Hayes? Yeah. He would tell his secretary, David Horton was working for him, and his secretary told David Horton, said, now Norval's crazy. He's just a crazy man. So he would go in and look at his accountant. He'd go in and look at his ledger, and the secretary would say, you're $30,000 below zero. And he goes, that's a lie! And the secretary would look at David Horton and say, I told you he's crazy. But that same crazy would go out to his orange fields there in Florida, and they're having a freeze come in, and they couldn't keep the oranges warm. They're concerned they're going to lose their whole crop. He'd go out there in his car. He'd roll the window down. He said, all you oranges that belong to Norval Hayes, let me just tell you right now, you won't freeze tonight. They go out there the next day. The oranges were all frozen everywhere except the section where Norval's oranges were. Just what you said. You have exactly what you say. Amen. So we're just blessed to all be a part of that. We're so privileged. We were talking about that last night, just the heritage we all have. Your church has this taproot of word and spirit, the tangibility of the glory of God, the reality of the name of Jesus, that everything goes back to the word. I'm not moved by what I feel, not moved by what I see. I'm moved by what the word says about me. And that came from Brother Hagin literally submitting his life to Smith Wigglesworth. And you can't get much better than having those two people be your kind of fathers in the faith, along with the kindling of what we've had over the years. So we're just privileged. And every one of those men we talk about, they would give you different facets of redemption. Yeah. You know, different people that you follow, you glean things from them. I grew up listening to John Osteen. He was my favorite because I liked how funny he was, but he was also very kind, but also very bold. He'd go, oh, you don't have any miracles in your church? Don't worry, you won't because you don't preach it. He had a way of saying it like, wow. I was just like, okay. But crazy too. And, you know, years ago, I had the Lord. I was in Michigan. And I had the Lord say to me, he goes, follow. I heard it as loud and clear. He said, follow after your fathers in the faith. Man, my ears perked up. He goes, Kenneth Hagin, John Osteen, and George Hamilton. I said, George Hamilton? That's that tan actor. And I was like, what? And so the Lord was messing with me. Because I like to be outside in the sun. So he called George Hamilton one of my fathers in the faith. I'm like, that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard. See, the Lord's normal. Yes. Let me just tell you, the Lord was talking to me about your church yesterday, the day before, and this morning. I woke up praying for your church, and there's such a new level of insight coming. It doesn't come with fanfare. It doesn't even come with observation. It's just going to happen. And the Lord, and I'm going to try to, Lord, help me say it like you said it. It's not a new phase or a new, everybody talks about a new wave in their church or whatever. Now, this is just like going from, this is how he has to explain things to me, pretty simplistic. Like going from the ninth grade to all of a sudden, instead of going to the 10th grade, 11th grade, you go right straight from the ninth, all of a sudden you're a senior. Ninth grade science class, you learn some things. You might dissect a frog. You get to senior, you're in chemistry and you're dealing with elements. You're dealing with stuff, complex equations. You know, there was algebra in your ninth grade. Then you got to geometry. Then you got to trig. Then you got to calculus. And, you know, it's like, what? Like, what planet am I on? And then you got to statistics. Because it was so overwhelming, because it was almost another world was being explained to you. He just said to me, there's going to be secrets that have been hidden for years going to be revealed to your congregation.
Thank you.
And they'll know facets about Jesus. There'll be facets about Jesus that you can't even teach it or preach it. It's so good. It'll just come to you. And all those facets of Jesus that are so overwhelming that literally made everything that you see, all of a sudden you realize that's all wrapped up into the Word, all wrapped up into the authority of the name of Jesus. It's a dominion mentality to where you look and go, how could I have been a part of that group that got that? Because you're just about to go to heaven. Jesus is just about to come. So there's some unusual things coming into the church that are radical, over the top. I mean, they're just, we were talking about the tangible anointing. And when I worked for Ed, you'd go back to the back room and I'd go back to the hotel and I'd have to put my hands on the air conditioning because my hands would burn so bad because I wasn't laying hands on people. I was just helping him in the prayer line because it's real. And see, some people go, is this stuff that real? It's so real. It's so tangible. Like the revivals happening at the Asbury in Kentucky. I got different friends that have gone to that. And one of them last week was there, and the room can only hold about 1,500, 2,000 people. They have 100,000 people came to the town. The police can't handle the cars. There's nowhere to put the people. So people are all out in the fields, and they got bullhorns pushing the message out to them in the fields. And I think I've probably prophesied that 500 times that we'd see that. People would go out into their parking lots, and they would shoot speakers, and we'd see stuff like that. But it would be happening all over. But that's all right. It's completely low key without any fanfare whatsoever. The guy was telling me this last weekend. I was in Pittsburgh. He said there's zero order to it, but there's absolutely no pressure to it. You know how you have kind of a systematic way of doing everything? He said it's so unorganized, it's hilarious. but there's almost a joy in how there's no pressure to it. So we're just getting ready to see the King. So and over the years, you know, the Lord kind of changed my mandate about 20 years ago. Told me to preach on end times, and I said, I don't want to do that. And he said, it doesn't matter what you want to do, it's what you're supposed to do. And then to come to find out that the coming of the Lord got such a bad rap, if I can say it that way. Probably the last 3 or 4 years, a lady will walk up to me after the service and she'll be crying. She goes, I've been lied to my entire life. I've been so afraid of the coming of the Lord. And this is the most exciting thing I've ever heard. I'm like, that's exactly right. It's the coolest thing there is. We're about to see Jesus. Yes. You know, hope deferred makes the heart sick. You can't get any more cooler than all of a sudden looking forward to seeing the King. Yes. There's nothing we'll ever experience anymore than all of a sudden going from faith to sight. I mean, you think about it, all of a sudden we're going to be at the throne of God. We're going to see the rainbow behind our dad, that the radiance will be so amazing. The only thing you can compare it to is looking out in the west here. I love how Dodge City, you can see the sunset. And maybe before the sunset, maybe about 3 or 4 shafts of light are coming through the clouds. That's a picture of what you're going to see on your dad's face. And you're going to go, how could that God have been our dad and love us to where he sent his son to die for us, that we could even approach that, and you're going to stand right there.
Yes.
The Bible said it'll be a sea of glass, clear as crystal. Crystal is the only element that won't hide a flaw. You'll be flawless before the throne of God. No storms, no wind, calm water. We have authority over storms. That's no problem. But it will be nice not to have to even use it for that. We can use it for other things. Praise the Lord. So there's just wonderful things ahead. So we'll get into it in the next few services. We'll see the way we'll mingle some power within times, or we'll just see what the Lord wants to do. I'm completely up to whatever He wants. He wants to strengthen you, though. He wants to encourage you. He wants to build you up. Now, remember this morning, He's not mad at you. He's not frustrated with you. He loves you. And then probably about the 2/3 of the way through every single message, He goes, whoa, hammer him. I'm like, what? How much I love him. Not hammer them, I'm mad at you. Hammer them on them how much I love you. The devil doesn't need to even condemn the church at all. The church so condemns himself. It's like, how are we going to walk in boldness if we're condemning ourselves all the time? No, the devil's the one condemning you. God's not condemning you. Come on. Hello. That's why people are frustrated, because they feel like there's something over their head. That's condemnation. That's for somebody. How can you be bold or daring when you're supposed to walk just like he walked? It'd be ridiculous for Jesus to be walking around kind of, Lauren, and I haven't talked about Colleen yet. My wife's doing so good. I have a daughter, married, got two grandkids. But when Lauren was little, she would come here. I remember she fell and cut her head, had to go have her head stitched up when she was like one or two. She was here. But she's, you know that song that Michael W. Smith would play, Nobody Knew His Secret Ambition. About talking about going to the cross, she thought it meant nobody knew his secret inhibitions. Like Jesus was like really introverted, like walking around. I said, no, that's not, he wasn't introverted like that. No, he's not afraid of anything. Amen. When Jesus walked into town, demons started crying out, have you come to torment us before the time? Instant submission. Before he opened his mouth, demons were crying out to him, are you come to torment us? And then listen to this. They knew Jesus was on a schedule, but they knew he was early. They said, if you come to torment us before the time, so if demons can know the schedule, how much more the church should know the schedule? Yes. Why? If you know what the schedule is, you'll accelerate. Yeah. It's just like a runner in the race. And when you see the finish line, I've never seen somebody train for years and years and go, what is that? No, they know exactly what a finish line is. But you got the church right now going, what is that? The Lord's about to come back. Yeah. I mean, there's people right now going, well, you don't need to talk about the coming of the Lord. Just get everybody's hopes up.
Come on.
Wow, wouldn't that just damage everybody to have their hopes up? Wow. No, think about it. No, it's the hope, not a hope. It's the hope that purifies you. Why? Why? Because if you thought the Lord was coming back tomorrow, I guarantee you'd live different tonight. I guarantee you'd be kinder. You'd be sweeter. I get mad driving because people don't go the speed limit. They go below the speed limit. I can't handle it. So I have to deal with that on a consistent basis. On the way here from the hotel, I had to deal with that. I'm like, the devil's trying to get me mad on the way to the hotel because people won't go the speed limit. Well, I don't want to be, what were you doing right the day before the rapture? I was chewing people out on the road. No, I don't, man, that's not cool. I want to be kind. The more you hang out with Jesus, the softer you'll be, the kinder you'll be, the easier you'll be to get along with. There'll be no drama in your life. If there's drama in your life, you need to hang out with the Lord. He's zero drama. Amen. Okay, I'm going to give you two testimonies, and I got to start preaching. You guys, you could just ramble up here. You guys are so sweet. We'll get into a lot, but I was in Arkansas a few months ago, had some words of knowledge, but there's been more miracles since I've been preaching on end times than when I preached on miracles, which is bizarre. So I'm calling out words of knowledge, and there was an 18-year-old kid there, and I didn't know the guy, and he was telling his buddies, goes, that guy's a con man, talking about me. He goes, he's a con man. This stuff's not real. And so he came back to the night service, which, why would you come back if you think the preacher's a con? That's just so weird. But he did. Thank God he came back. So I had some more words of knowledge, and I just called him out and said, you're healed, because I preached a long time, so now I just do it that way instead of having everybody come forward. So this young man was there, the same one that's calling me a con man. I said, there's someone here. You had something go off beside your head, like a bomb went off. And this young man came down after the service. He's crying, bawling. He goes, I had this Tannerite go off right beside my head. He said, I hadn't been able to hear since that went off. He said, when you called that out, something got sucked out of my ear. He said, I can hear perfectly. Hallelujah. So this guy doesn't like me, doesn't like the message, thinks I'm a con man, and gets healed. Yeah. I mean, the Lord's just so kind. All right, I'm in Hartford, Connecticut. Hartford. Matt Nillette's the pastor's name. I had a word of knowledge that someone was in a car wreck. They hurt their back and their neck. Just called out and said, you're healed. Afterwards, this young man, probably 30 years old, come walking up to me. He goes, what do I do? What do I do? I go, what are you talking about? He goes, well, I was in the car wreck. He said, my neck is healed, my back's healed. I said, well, enjoy it. He didn't know. He literally goes, what do I do with this? I said, well, you just, it's okay. It's all good. A couple minutes later, his girlfriend walked up to him and said, you don't know about my boyfriend. The whole time I was preaching, he said about me. He goes, he's a con man. He's a con man. So the Lord's so kind that the people don't even like the preacher, and the Lord, they reach out and bless them and heal them. Yes. I could tell you stories all day where people were there, were mad to be there, and the Lord reached out to bless them and heal them because he loves them. He's extremely kind.
Yes, he is.
Extremely good.
Yes.
He just loves you. Get that perfect love casts out all fear. Amen. So let's pray and we'll get right into the Word. We're rambling for a little bit, so let's get into it. Lord, we love you. We're here on Sunday morning, Father. We thank you for what you have for this church. Help me remember those things you said to me about what will be revealed to them. A new stage, a new place, a new platform in their church, a new verbiage of heavenly things, Lord. Unseen realities, ministry of angels, the ministry of the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus. That this morning, Lord, we'd see you high and lifted up with your train filling the temple. Lord, we see you as God. We thank you for the authority that you've given the church, the dominion and power you've given every believer to walk in the fullness of the resurrection. So, Lord, we thank you for demonstrations of your mercy and kindness and demonstrations of the resurrection. We take hold of what you have for us right here before we depart. We take hold of what the latter church should function and look like. So we lift you up today, Lord. Thank you for blessing every household. Thank you for a new season for every person in this room and a reassessing of assignments to finish their course with joy. Great joy. Satan, we take authority over you. You can't hinder any family in here. You can't mess with them. You're trespassing on God's property. We serve you notice that we're redeemed from the curse of the law. So, Lord, we thank you for these great things to happen just before we leave, and we give you glory for it. We give you honor, and we step into it, Lord. We walk as we ought to walk. We thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Well, let's get into this. Go over to Matthew 24 and, you know, say, why would we want to learn about end times? Because I hear that. Well, the main thing would be so you'll know how close you are to leaving. And what that should produce is you pick up the pace. You run faster. I've never heard of someone at the end of the race go, let's run slower now. No, there's always a kick. You always go faster. So Paul talked about the baptism 12 times, coming of the Lord 52 times. Okay? For every one verse there is about the first coming of the Lord, eight times more about the second coming. Very documented. Why? One-third of the book is prophecy. Why? It brings authenticity to the book. God said, we'll get to it. He said, I can show you what's going to happen before it happens. This is the only book that gives you future. Gabriel so gave Daniel so much future. It was so detailed that Daniel freaked out. He goes, he lost heart almost fell out. And Gabriel had to raise him up. He was so out. He goes, how's this going to happen? He's showing him the tribulation. And you know what Gabriel said? Don't worry. The Ancient of Days will prevail. Woo, hallelujah. Every movie you see where the hero comes in at the end of the day, that's copying Jesus coming back at the second coming and stopping war. Every movie you see, that's where they get that. Jesus will come and stop war right there at the Valley of Megiddo. Why? Because the nations of the earth are going to come against Israel. Satan can't get God, so he's going to get the closest thing. He's going to try to get the closest thing to God he can get. So God's moved Israel back to the land. He's going to court her. He's going to protect her. And he's going to come in at the very last on a white horse. And we'll be right there with him. And Isaiah saw it. He said, who is this that comes from Megiddo? Who is this from Eden with garments stained from Bozrah, yeah, radiant in apparel, glorious in stature?
Yeah.
Wow. He's going to walk through that valley. He's going to say, I am the root of Jesse.
Yeah.
I am the first and the last.
Yeah.
I am he that was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore.
Yeah.
I'm the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. Yeah. I'm the brightness of the glory of God. I'm the express image of his person. Man, you're going to watch people exploding right there. And that area there, Napoleon saw that area. I've been on Mount Carmel looking over that area. Israel has an underground runway, an F-16 shot out of a hole in the ground right there. I mean, that's where the biggest battle is ever going to be. And the Bible says the kings of the east come over the Euphrates. Have you seen the articles this year? The Euphrates is running dry. Why? Because of the kings of the east got to go over it really soon. So we're watching all of it play out right in front of our eyes. So let's go and watch Jesus explain a little bit to us what it'll look like before we leave so that we can kind of connect dots with each other. So go to Matthew 24. These are verses, they're all about the second coming here. These are not about the rapture. So Matthew 24, Jesus went out in verse 1, departed from the temple, and the disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another, shall not be thrown down. Now, this is pretty amazing, the view from the Mount of Olives. You're looking at the Temple Mount. What's so ominous about this is the Lord's address forever. I mean, that's, you want to mail something to Jesus? It's going to be right there. You send a postcard to the Lord, it's going to be right there, okay? So they go up on the Mount of Olives. You look down over that Temple Mount, and this is his throne will be right there. That's the spot. So it says here in verse 3, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world, or the end of the age? Because the world's never coming to an end. The world's going to be renovated, but it's all going to be here forever. Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. Notice he didn't get mad because they asked him a question. They said, how dare you ask about end times? No. He just said, hey, take heed no man deceive you. Many will come in my name saying I'm Christ and shall deceive many. Now remember, he's talking to Jewish boys here. He's not really talking to the church. So his verbiage is a little different. Talking to the church, he talks different. Okay? We're his beloved. It's amazing how the tone changes when you get in the family. Amen? Yeah. So he says, many will come saying I'm Christ, and we'll see many will hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you're not troubled. All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines, there'll be pestilence. There'll be earthquakes in diverse places. He says here in verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, we don't use that word sorrows. That's the word birth pains. We don't even use that word anymore. We would say now, in today's terminology, all these are the beginning of contractions. Basically, Jesus said just before the trib, because the trib starts in verse 9. You ought to mark it in your Bible. Just before the tribulation, there's going to be so much pressure on the earth that it'll be similar to a woman going into labor. Now, what happens when a lady goes into labor? The contractions get so intense that you can't ignore them. You go, I'm going to the hospital. How many of you ladies, though, after the baby was born, did you go, those were the coolest contractions I've ever had? No, did you? Did you say that? Contractions. I'll write a book about those. They're wonderful. No, you don't focus on the contractions. You focus on the baby. So here he's saying, don't focus on the drama that's going on. Focus on the kingdom that's coming. Because if you get your focus on the hell that's going on in the earth, there's so much crazy stuff going on. Where I just was in New Jersey, there's a school teacher in the church there in New Jersey. She has two girls in her class that think they're cats. They have two litter boxes there, and they answer by saying meow. The bridge is out, okay? It doesn't get any weirder than that, all right? But you could get caught up in that, and you could go, okay, it's over. Well, it's cuckoo, cuckoo. Yes, it's cuckoo. I mean, they have litter boxes for those two girls in school, and they champion it. Well, I'd say something's wrong, okay? Well, so you don't talk about the pressure on the earth. You talk about the baby that's going to be born in the kingdom. So we focus on what is to come. Yes, it's weird right now, but that's all right. Jesus said it'd be weird. So don't worry about it. And there'd be some things just like COVID. COVID got the whole world's attention. That's all right. That's nothing. That's a piece of cake. I mean, we're not fragile. We're not victims. If you looked at most of the church, you'd go, oh, the fragileness of the church. Oh, what do we do about this? What do we do about this? No, this is what we do about this. We conquer. I can't believe I'm going to tell you this story because we got a lot to get into for just a little bit. I won't go too long because I want you to come back tonight, all right? Remember John Osteen said, he who preaches short will be heard again. So I'm in this meeting in Kentucky years ago, and these two nurses come in hazmat suits. I'm not talking gowns. I'm talking plastic hazmat suits with a face clear thing like that with a woman that has some kind of flu. I don't know what it is. They came walking in. I was in Corbin, Kentucky. They came walking in, and they said, we want you to pray for this lady. She's got this really bad contagious disease. And I said, that's okay. Have her take her helmet off. And they go, oh, no, no, we can't do that. I said, no, she's going to take her helmet off, and she's going to breathe on me, and I'm going to inhale. And she's still going to get healed, and I'm not going to get sick. And man, those nurses were freaking out because they knew how contagious it was. Well, she took her helmet off. She breathed on me. I took inhaled, prayed for her. She got healed, and I've been smoking cigarettes ever since. I'd love to do that. I'm sorry. Good to see everybody. God bless you. No. No, I'm not smoking cigarettes. I'm not fragile. I got something in me that overwhelms that. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes me free from the law of sin and death. Come on. So when we hear about these things, you think, well, the church is so fragile. You're not fragile. You're not easily offended. We're not babies. Amen? I can't believe I'm going to tell this story, and I got to get to end times. I was preaching in David Ellis's old church there in California, and Ray Jean's the pastor. And I saw where had a vision. I got there and I saw where people, the line to protect the quarterback, usually blocks for the quarterback, but the line was falling away and they were letting people come in and attack the pastor and almost didn't even care about it. And I thought, man, that's not good. So the people that should be protecting the pastor were letting people get to the pastor and attack him, because you want to protect your pastors. How you treat them is how you treat Jesus. If I can't do that right, how am I going to treat the king? Because that's who the king's representation is right there. So I told Colleen, I said, go get me some Depends undergarments. So Colleen went and bought me these boxes of Depends undergarments, you know. So I got there during the church service and preached a little bit. I said, now this is what it looks like. I took those Depends on, I put them over my pants. I said, that's what you look like right now. You look like a bunch of babies. And then I start throwing them to loosen it up, everybody, because everybody freaks out when you say that, you know. So I'm saying, because you're letting the pastor get attacked. I said, you're acting like a bunch of babies. You're fighting over stuff you shouldn't fight over. You should be protecting the pastor. So I'm throwing diapers everywhere thinking that's fun, you know. So that turned it into what was serious to fun. Got back to the Hertz Rent-A-Car place there in Ontario, and at the Rent-A-Car place in Ontario, you have like 75 to 100 people are waiting for their cars as the cars are all being brought up. This has never happened before ever. As I pull my car up, the man walked into my car. He goes, sir, you left your Depends undergarments here in the car. yells it out to me as I'm walking away. I go, those are not mine. He goes, sure they're not. Yeah, right there in front of everybody. I was like, for the love of Mike and all that's holy. How's that happen to me? Anyway, so you're not fragile. Amen? Amen. All right, grab your Bibles. Go back to Isaiah. Let's look at this. Yeah, how does that happen? Go to Isaiah 46. Let's look at this, and then we'll get right into what we're going to get into. Isaiah 46, look at verse 9. You've heard this many times. Verse 9 of Isaiah 46, he says, remember the former things of old. This is page 818 if you got a Bible like mine. Remember the former things of old. I'm God. There is none else. I'm God. There's none like me. Wow. Declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. I mean, this is pretty amazing. This is why we get into end times. It proves the authenticity of the Bible. Ezekiel prophesied the year Israel be made a nation. Happened exactly to the year. Gabriel told Daniel the year Jesus would come came exactly to the year. Precisely, flawless. We'll get into that tonight. I mean, the flawlessness of it is just absolutely cool. So listen to this. I know you've heard it and I've done it many times here, but listen to the first 10 names of guys in the Bible and look how amazing the word is. So it's a lot of info, but just mentally run through it with me for just a minute. Adam means man. Seth means appointed. Enos means mortal. Canaan means sorrow. This is the first 10 names of God in the Bible. Mahalalel means the blessed God. Jared means shall come down. Enoch means teaching. Methuselah means his death brings. Lamech means despairing. And Noah means rest. Put it all together. Man is appointed mortal with sorrow. The blessed God shall come down teaching that his death brings a despairing rest. Gives you the entire plan of God in the first 10 names of guys in the Bible. Because see, you can trust him. He's God. He's watching over his word to perform it. So with that, when he shows you all the stuff that's going to happen just before we leave, it should be a wake-up call for us that we got to do a lot of things in a real short period of time. The only reason we preach on end times is when you see the play clock. How many of you like college football? I'm kind of a college football freak. Colin, I yell at the TV. Colin goes, it's not doing any good, honey. It doesn't work. But if I see a quarterback not pay attention to the play clock, if he's not looking at the play clock, he kind of walks up to the huddle, do 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 do, and I'm like, oh, dude, you got a minute left. Come on, you need to change the way you're functioning. So when time runs short, you change. You put your heart into it. You give it your all. You don't go, well, what should we do today? No, you know exactly what you do. I mean... In other words, everything changes. There's an intensity. And why do I say that? Because there's Christians right now living right before the coming of the Lord. What? I don't believe he's coming. Just kind of on cruise. There should be an intensity to our lives. We don't fit church into our lives. It is our life. And I'm not saying that because he's not mad at you. You're here. I'm just saying there's people right now that aren't in church that should be in church. And I couldn't imagine right before we meet God going, my life is so important that I've got to do it my way. I mean, think of Frank Sinatra singing that song. But you know what? Frank Sinatra got saved. I went to his house. Ray Jean and I went to his house before he died. I'm talking to his staff. There's a big statue right there. I said, what is that? They said, Robert Schuller gave that to Frank Sinatra. I said, Robert Schuller? They said, yeah, Robert Schuller led him to the Lord. So the guy that said, I did it my way, got saved. Well, God's about to come back to the planet. I can't do it my way. I got to make adjustments to do it His way. So He told us to assemble even more as you see the day approaching. He didn't say assemble less. People go, gosh, you guys have a lot of meetings. Yeah, that's exactly right. We're trying to be scriptural. Good night, everybody. Drive safely. All right, start the car. I'll be right there. Come on. He's not saying that because he's mad at you. I'm just saying in general, I can't imagine the thought pattern to go, well, I don't need to be in church that much. I'm overwhelming myself with the Word when I'm not in church. I'm watching Brother Hagin on YouTube. I'm watching Charles Capps on YouTube. Come on, John Osteen on YouTube. Yesterday, three times, I said, Colleen, make sure you watch the Word on YouTube. They get some Word in you. I mean, I'm telling my wife. Why, how many of your jobs this last week did they tell you, greater is He that's in you than He that's in this world? I've never worked at a job where they told me that. Come on, is that what your boss says to you? No. Right now, you've got to overwhelm yourself with the Word because you're living in a bizarre time. So with that, buzz over now to Luke 21. If you'll notice, we talked about Methuselah's name. He was a marker or a timepiece for them in the Old Covenant. How would you like to have a name? When I die, you all die. I mean, wouldn't that be weird? Hey, nice to meet you. When I die, you're going to die too. Wouldn't that be a weird name? Well, you know, I bet they were checking on Methuselah. You got food? You doing okay? I mean, if Methuselah got the flu, everybody's like, oh, God, it's over. No. What happened when Methuselah died? The year he died, the flood came. So he was a marker for them. Okay, so now, in this dispensation, Israel is the marker. You can see God working with Israel, and it tells you they're the timepiece. Something's up. Because God's brought them back to their land. He's going to court them. He's going to protect them. He's going to show off for them during the tribulation. They're going to have 7 years of fireworks just to get their attention. I've said it here before. In high school, I was dating girls. Every single date, I tried to pull over to a certain spot, and I'd go back and get into the trunk, and I'd shoot fireworks off. So I'd say, you can't say you didn't go out with me and didn't see fireworks. Yeah. I didn't do it once. I did it many times. Why? I wanted the girl to think, make the date was memorable. So God's brought Israel back to the land. He's going to make it memorable. We got water turning to blood. You got asteroids. You had an asteroid Saturday night, last night go by. That's the size of a football field. It came between the earth and the moon last night. You got one next Friday doing the same thing again. So there's just a lot going on. This is it. Jesus is coming.
Yeah, fireworks.
A lot of activities, a lot of fireworks, a lot of stuff to get our attention. Yeah. So let's look here and watch Jesus make it easy to understand how close we are. You say, because I hear people go, you can't tell the Lord's coming back. Actually, you can. In our book, The Guide Harrison House, he goes, well, we were fact-checking all your facts there. And you know what? All those things have come to pass. I said, you think I'd make those things up? I was on a TV program. The guy was hammering me. He'd give me one thing after another. I go, you're fact-checking me while I'm giving you the answer. He goes, well, absolutely I am. He's Googling me while he's interviewing me. The guy at Harrison House was a preterist. He thought we were already in the millennium. He went through all this stuff. He goes, I've changed my doctrine. We're not in the millennium. I said, of course we're not. Jesus is not in control of the earth right now. The devil is. Dear Lord. So there's some things we can look at that are very, very easy to grasp how close we are to leaving the planet. Yeah. So let's look here at Luke 21, verse 24. They'll fall by the edge of the sword and they'll be led away captive unto all nations. And Jerusalem will be trodden down or overthrown of the Gentiles or nations until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. So Jesus said there's some times when the nations are going to be fulfilled. And he says when it is when you see Jerusalem won back. When the Jews get control of Jerusalem, you can tell that's it. Well, that happened in 1967. So in our lifetime, the very thing that the Lord's using as a clock has already come to pass. Yeah. That's pretty radical. The Six-Day War. We're at the end of 6 days of human history. Yeah. And at the Six-Day War, Israel was surrounded by Syria, Egypt, Jordan, Libya, they wanted to annihilate Israel, and Israel won that war. An amazing 6 days. Then Jerusalem was won back. I've told you the story every time I'm here, I think. Remember the Egyptian army was coming down against Israel? And one Israeli cook, he got out and hopped into a tank and said, he figured out how to load the shells into a turret. Could you imagine? Do anybody in here know how to load a tank up, load a shell up in a tank? Much less getting shot at. He jumps in, loads shells into a tank, starts firing shells at the Egyptian army. 88 Egyptian tanks, one Israeli tank. The morning, the Egyptian commander waves a white flag. He said, I'm here to surrender to the highest ranking officer. And the guy goes, highest ranking officer? The cook said this. The Israeli cook goes, highest ranking officer? It's just me, a cook. And he goes, I don't even know what I'm doing. And the guy goes, well, I'll tell you what, you've been shelling us all night. The whole countryside was filled with tanks with men dressed in white. You've been shelling us all night. We can't take it anymore. I was in Israel a couple years ago. The Saudi Arabian newspaper came out and said, we still don't understand how Israel won the Six-Day War. And they attributed it to those men dressed in white on the front of the tanks. They're angels. Angels. So Israel wins the Six-Day War. And the Lord goes, okay, when you see that happen, you need to kind of wake up because time's pretty much up. That's so bold. Watch him have to give them a parable to get them to grasp it. Like, okay, hold on, buckle up. Let me give you a little more info to grab this. So look what he says in verse 29. He says, look at the fig tree, that's the nation of Israel, and all the trees, those are the prophetic nations around Israel, when they now shoot forth their bud. He said, you see and know of your own selves that summer, our harvest is nigh at hand. You know, 2 weeks ago in Tulsa, I got to be home to watch the trees start turning. Usually I'm out of town. I'll leave and come back and the trees have turned. I literally watched them start turning, and then last week they turned even more. I was like, man, this is so cool to watch them bud. Well, I didn't walk out in the yard and go, oh my God, what meaneth this? No, I knew exactly what it meant. Wouldn't that be weird? Somebody goes, what is this? There's a temperature change coming. I'm ready for that temperature change. Aren't you ready for that temperature change? Well, it just means summer's coming. It's not rocket science. And here Jesus says, look at this, likewise, or in the same manner, or just as bold as you are about that, when you see these things come to pass. He goes back to Israel being made a nation and Jerusalem going back. Just as bold as you are when the trees bud, when you see Israel regathered and Jerusalem going back, you can compare the two of them together. Now watch what he says. He's going to say something really bold. Likewise, when you see these things come to pass, No. Didn't say wonder. Didn't say sense, because everybody goes, you can't know when the Lord's coming back. Right here, he puts a little kibosh to that. He said, when you see these things come to pass, you can know, watch this, that the kingdom's nigh at hand. Now, that's pretty cool to know it's close. He says it's nigh at hand. But watch him just rip it off right here. Look in verse 32. He goes, guess what? Verily I say unto you, this generation, what generation? The one that sees Israel regathered and Jerusalem won back will not pass away till all is fulfilled. So he goes from saying how close it is to going, okay, the group that's there that sees these two events, Israel regathered and Jerusalem went back, that's when I'm coming back. I hear people go, I don't believe that. It doesn't matter. I hear people go, I'm not comfortable with that. It still don't matter. I didn't see a group of people out by the tomb when Jesus was resurrected. 3, 2, 1, here he comes. No, there was no one helped in the resurrection, and no one's going to help at the rapture or the second coming. He's going to do it all by himself.
Yes, amen.
Now, he has the church doing things for him right now, but this is something he's going to do. And he said, by the way, if you're one of those people that have seen those two events, I'm coming back for you. Woo, glory to God. Wow, you talk about radical. We're about to be changed. Oh man, come on, you're going to get a glorified body, never gain weight again, come on. Never be tired again. It does not get any cooler than that, come on. So here Jesus is telling these guys here, look at this, these things are happening, you can tell I'm about to come. And so he says in verse 33, heaven and earth will be altered or pass away. The Greek says altered. My words will not be altered. You can't change this. So we're living with in a time when all these markers are happening. I really like the one about Kenneth Hagin. I mean, you think about 1917. Pastor and I were going through all this back before we came out. 1917, an Australian general, Allenby, he flies into the land of Israel. Before he came in, they passed out leaflets everywhere. Allenby's coming. Well, in Arabic, his name Allenby meant a prophet sent from God to deliver you your land. They didn't fire a shot. They thought, well, we can't fight against God. They dropped their weapons, gave the land over to Israel, and what was called the Balfour Declaration was signed right there, 1917. Israel gets a proclamation, this is your land. One jubilee later, 50 years later, exactly, Jerusalem's won back. But in 1917, Jesus appears to Kenneth Hagin's mom, says to name him John, that he would have a part in getting the earth ready for the second coming. She doesn't like the name John. She likes the name Kenneth. Don't you love that? Jesus stands there and says, name your kid John. He goes, she goes, I don't like that name. Wow. I mean, it says that he would have a part, not everything, but a part in getting the earth ready for the second coming. You know what Hagin means in the Hebrew? One to go before to prepare people ready for the coming of the Lord. It's John the Baptist's identical definition. Mark Brzee has a lady in his church, an evangelist. She had died a few years ago, and they used defibrillators and got her back. She's up in heaven talking to Jesus. She saw Brother Hagin. She goes, look, there's Kenneth Hagin. Jesus said, you mean John? So if you're supposed to be John, you're supposed to be John. So how blessed are we to be a part of this? I was thinking the other day, just in Switzerland alone, I preached in Chur, preached in Langenthal, preached in Lausanne, preached in Basel, Zurich. I'm forgetting four or five places. And here, all because of Kenneth Hagin, sowing the word, no flash, zero fanfare, zero flash, as boring as it could possibly be. Open your Bibles to Mark 11:23. Getting the earth ready for the second coming. Getting the earth ready for the second coming. So how blessed are we? Wow. Man, oh man. So all these things are happening. You had, this last year, Israel has done 44 airstrikes in Damascus, Syria. What's Israel been doing that for? Iran keeps hauling missiles from Iran down into Syria to get them close to Israel. Now, this is how close Damascus is to Israel. If you're up on the Golan Heights, you can look down and see the lights of Damascus. It's right there. So Israel keeps preemptively striking. What's happening in Damascus? They're putting new guidance systems on these missiles so they just don't fire them everywhere. They can pinpoint precision fire them. So Israel has to go blow them up every week. Well, last week, Iran fired missiles at our bases in Syria. So then we, actually from a drone, so then we had an airstrike on their stuff, blew up some of their stuff, and they fired more missiles at us. So you got Iran firing missiles at us, getting missiles ready to fire at Israel, and they're almost got nuclear power. Their stuff's enriched to 84%, and all they need is a few more percent, and they got nuclear weapons. Because the Bible, now listen, now this is Damascus where Israel's been doing this. Isaiah 17 says Damascus will be removed from being a city. Yeah. You're going to wake up one morning, they'll have probably hauled a suitcase nuke down into Damascus and don't even know how to set it up. And while they're trying to get it ready, it'll probably blow up and remove the whole city. And what Russia's going to do is, you know what? I'm going to go protect the Palestinians because they'll think Israel bombed Damascus. And you'll see all these people come to Israel, to Russia, will come to Syria's defense and the Palestinians' defense. And that's the Ezekiel 38 war. The players for that next act are right there on the stage. If you're in a football game and you see them kicking the ball before the game and you see them throwing some passes, you know the game's about to start. But when you see them line up on the 35, you don't go, what meaneth this? No, you know exactly what it is. The game's about to start. You've got the players for the next act after we leave lined up on the field. With Russia, Turkey, Syria, they're all there. So let's go through the signs. I mean, this is a pretty big deal. I say that because don't be afraid about that. Get excited.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing to fear. No. I mean, you got China doing things that's just crazy. Yeah. Now China has an alliance with Russia and with Iran. Uh-huh. Yeah. If you got into all this stuff, it's just amazing. All right. So those are two big signs, though. Israel regathered, Jerusalem went back. Those are pretty big. What's the next one after that? The Hebrew language restored. Because the Bible says right before the coming of the Lord, He'll restore to them a pure language. Yes. So here He's done it in our lifetime. 100 years ago, no one spoke Hebrew. Now they all speak Hebrew. You should Google it. They don't speak Hittite, Amorite, Canaanite, Jebusite. What do they speak? Hebrew. Never, ever has there been a language lost like that and recovered ever in history. Google it. Never. When did it happen? Your lifetime. So God's got Israel back in your lifetime. Got Jerusalem back in your lifetime. Got the language restored in your lifetime. Okay? After that, you've got the revival of the Roman Empire, the EU. I went from Norway into Nice. They don't even stamp your passport. United States of Europe. The woman from the book of Revelation is on their money. You can go to the Capitol building. It's in Strasbourg, France. The top of it is not completed, just like the Tower of Babel. It's fragmented. You should see it. I have it on my phone. Maybe tonight I'll show it to you. It's crazy. They built it to be just like the Tower of Babel because it's that system that says we'll be our own gods. Crazy. Okay, Russia last year rebuilt the archway in Palmyra, Syria for Baal worship. Why is that a big deal? Because the Talmud says that's the last sign you'll see before the Messiah comes. Okay? You had 20,000 of Jacob's sheep show up a couple months ago in Israel. A lineage of sheep Passover. They got the five red heifers. They've got the ointment to put on the red heifer. Listen to this. It's a worm that produces a red ointment that looks like ink. And they put that red ointment, it's a type of the blood, okay? They put that ointment on the red heifer, and in 3 days it turns white. Though your sins be scarlet, they be white as snow. 3 days exactly. Why? Jesus was in the heart of the earth for 3 days. So that's all shown up just this last year. You had the Dead Sea turn blood red last fall where Sodom and Gomorrah was. And I was like, man, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. The next week I figured out it was on the Day of Atonement. I said, Lord, you're just showing off now. This is crazy. I mean, like, what in the world? I mean, how radical is that? You had foxes show up on the Temple Mount. You had fish show up in the Dead Sea. You had predatory birds. 172 different species of predatory birds start showing up in the land. I mean, the Israeli ornithologist says it's the craziest thing we've ever seen. What is this? What meaneth this? Now they say there's 500. I was at the San Diego Zoo. I took my daughter and son-in-law, and I went up and talked to one of the ladies there. I said, tell me how many species of predatory birds are there? She goes, thousands. I said, what? Well, Israel's had 172. Now they got about 500. The guy told me this in Connecticut. Why? You've got the cleanup crew in Israel right now. After the Ezekiel 38 war, God calls on the fowl of the air to clean the land up. 7 years later at the Battle of Armageddon, He calls on the fowl of the air to clean the land up again. So you've got the cleanup crew there right now. So you got fish in the Dead Sea, you got foxes on the Temple Mount, you got Russia went into Crimea, went into the Ukraine. Why did Russia go into the Ukraine? Go straight north of Israel, Ukraine, because the Bible says they'll come from the north. All these groups are in position. You have the Temple Mount Institute. If you go into the Old City, it's a group of men, their last name's Cohen, means priest. They've been going to school for 30 years. They have everything ready for the sacrifices. They have the menorah behind a plexiglass thing like that right out front because it's worth millions of dollars. I still can't believe someone hasn't gotten a helicopter and flown down and hooked a crane around that thing and just hauled it off. If I think that way, I know other people think that way. I'm like, man, that thing's exposed right there. But you go in and they show you a video of the next temple. Last week, Benjamin Netanyahu said, we're going to rebuild the third temple right there on the spot, on the mount, right there where the Dome of the Rock is.
Yeah.
You know what's in the Dome of the Rock right now? On the top of the Dome of the Rock, it says in Arabic, there is no Son of God, there is no Son of God, there is no Son of God. Why? There is a Son of God. His name's Jesus. The devil's so stupid. I've told you this before, but I love it. You can go to the Old City and you can see a mosque right here. What happened right there? That's where Jesus was raised from the dead. You go over here and there's a mosque over here. What happened there? That's where the Mount of Ascension was. You go over here, there's a mosque there. That's where Jesus was beaten. The devil tries to put a mosque everywhere Jesus did something important. He thinks he can cover it up and all it did was give you a tour guide. So you got Russia in position. If I got into everything about the Temple Mount, it would take all day. It's so elaborate and so cool because the temple looks really new and modern, but still kind of a vintage look to it. Israel this last year decided to make a new rail system from the Tel Aviv airport straight to Jerusalem so people can walk right off the train and have sacrifices. Right now, when you fly into Tel Aviv, it takes a couple hours to get to Jerusalem because the roads are all going through the mountains and it's just not easy to get there. But they're going to make a train track so you can get to the Temple Mount easy to have sacrifices. Because right after we're raptured, they'll go back to having sacrifices. Yeah. They had one last year and got arrested. They did it on the edge of the Temple Mount. Yeah. Well, the mayor of Jerusalem got saved. He said, they're supposed to be having sacrifices up here. He said, now watch. He said, I believe I'll let them this year. So you better be paying attention next month. They're going to take an animal up on the Temple Mount and sacrifice it. And you talk about all kinds of stuff breaking loose, man. It's going to, a lot of stuff's going to happen. So you got all these people in position, all these groups that are not even saved, that God's got them ready. Now, they're going to get saved. The Bible says they have a massive harvest that's innumerable, which is great. But God can take people that aren't even born again and get them to get in position, but yet the church is now, the people can't want him to come to church now. Yeah. So if God can get the unchurched to obey him, how much more should the church be in obeying him? Yes, amen. We're him. We should be, well, Lord, what do you have for me? What do you want me to do? We should be more consecrated, more dedicated now than we've ever been. Why? We're just about to leave. My mother used it on me. She'd get that crazy look, the rapture's going to happen tonight, and I'd go to bed, Lord, I love you. I mean, every single night, man, I'm making peace with God. Come on. I didn't want to miss the rapture. Amen? Come on. So with all this stuff happening about the second coming, you're 7 years closer with the rapture. We'll get into some dates tonight. I don't normally get into dates, but tonight we'll get into some things. I'll show you stuff about Daniel's 70th week. It's crazy cool. All right, so let's talk about a couple more, because it's 11:30. I've almost gone an hour, so I've gone a long time. I don't normally do that. Is that okay? So anybody ever heard of Bishop Malachy? You know, he was on the History Channel. They talked about him. In the year 1129 A.D., a Catholic bishop had a vision and saw every single pope that would be on the earth all the way up until the coming of the Lord. He got the coat of arms correct. Now, the coat of arms, if you've seen someone from Ireland or Scotland or England, they have a coat for the coat of arms for their family, very detailed. This guy, this bishop, got the coat of arms for 114 out of 114. Didn't miss it once. You know what the History Channel said? That's statistically impossible. It said only a God can do that. Yeah. Guess what pope we have right now? 114. Guess what that pope said last week? There is no hell. He said, said people that aren't saved, their spirits are annihilated. He said, there's no such thing as hell. Because, see, what's coming is the beast and the false prophet. And you're seeing people act like it right now. I mean, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but, you know, Emmanuel Macron, he's the president of France. He rotates with the EU. He's the president of the EU this year. You know what Emmanuel means? God with us. You know what Macron means? The mark. You know what he said his reign will be? A Jupiterian reign. You know what that is? A king's reign. He's part Assyrian, part Jew. Yep. He went into Iraq, went into Lebanon, said, I'm going to help you, almost like a savior. If he's not the Antichrist, he missed a wonderful opportunity. Now, I'm not saying he is, but he even looks like the guy from the Left Behind series. Come on, looks just like him. Looks just like him. So there's a leader coming on the scene that's going to have a solution for the Palestinians and the Jews. And man, they're going to think he's God. This is the amazing thing is, it's going to be the Antichrist. And midway through the tribulation, he's going to come into the temple and say, I'm God. They're going to go, uh-oh. The guy they think is the Messiah is going to end up being the devil incarnate. And he'll have 3.5 years, the latter part of the trib, to do the devil will, be inside a man, just like Jesus had 3.5 years in his ministry. Wow, amazing, 42 months. And I've heard people say, no one knows when the Lord's coming back. The Jews will know the exact day of the second coming. Why? Because when the Antichrist goes in mid-trib, they'll know they have 42 months to the day. Guess what? The second coming is going to be 42 months from the day from when the Antichrist goes in and says he's God. So everybody goes, well, the people don't know when the Lord's coming back. They'll know the exact day of the second coming. Yeah. And Paul said, you're not in darkness that day would overtake you. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. We'll get into that tonight, maybe. We'll see. Okay, so we have a lot of signs. I got to stop. Well, let's just think about all this. Overwhelming information. Overwhelming. 80 signs, 90 signs, 100-something signs of the coming of the Lord. Praise God. I mean, it's like God's like trying to go, boom, you had locusts doing kinds of stuff this last year. You go down the list, just one thing after another. Like, oh my Lord, the Lord's coming back. Men will be lovers themselves. You have selfie sticks. I told you I was in Los Angeles, and a guy had 2 selfie sticks with cameras on them, walking down the middle of the street, almost got hit by a car. Oh, yeah. But why? He was wanting to take a picture of himself. Have you ever had a generation where we took more pictures of ourselves? Unbelievable. It's crazy, isn't it? Oh, a few more shots of me. Here we go. No, that's weird. Tell us, my dad went home to be with the Lord in 80. If you'd have told him, Dad, there's coming a time that people are going to be taking photographs of themselves, he'd go, that's not possible. It's possible. All right, but then you go from signs to signals. You had the blood red moons on Passover and Tabernacles. That's a pretty radical deal. That moons would turn blood red on precise days that were Passover. That's when he died for us. Tabernacles is when he's going to come back and tabernacle with men. That's radical. NASA calls it a tetrad. When's the last time you had four in a row on Passover and Tabernacles? 1967 when Jerusalem was won back. 1948 when Israel was made a nation. 1492 at the Edict of Expulsion when the Jews were kicked out of Spain. So blood red moons in conjunction with supernatural things happening in Israel. So you got the heavens declaring the glory of God. All right, those are signals. Then this last year you had the Bethlehem Star. People don't even talk about that. You have Jupiter, Regulus, Venus come together. Jupiter, king planet, Regulus, regal. Regulus did retrograde motion. Looks like it's going backwards. Crowned Jupiter. Because the king was born. Wow. So at the birth of Jesus, you had those planets come together. The wise men, they rode on camels for 500 miles to be there. And what was the constellation? Virgo. This last year, NBC Nightly News said we have a celestial event, Jupiter, Regulus, Venus, Bethlehem Star. First time in 2,000 years. First time in 2,000 years. Yes. Amazing. Jupiter, Regulus, and Venus. What was the constellation? Leo. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. In 2017, you had so many things happen in the heavens in 2017 that I told the Lord, Lord, you got to come back in 2017. I mean, it was just like, you had the Revelation 13 sign. You had the constellation. Eclipse go from a town in Salem on the west coast, go through a town in Salem on the east coast. You had it split right down the nation of Israel. It was one thing after another. I'm like, you got to be coming in 2017. Wow. But it was 100 years from Allenby delivering Israel their land. See, God's real precise on that kind of stuff. See, He likes anniversaries. He likes celebrations. We get all that from Him. So with all of this, what does it tell me? We're about to see the King. There's many more things. You had Rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri. He's a rabbi years ago. Jesus appears to him. And he accepts him as the Savior. Jesus showed him the feast. Okay, this rabbi gets saved. He's such a high rabbi. He knows if he talks about Jesus to people, people are going to kill each other. So he quietly writes a letter and says, now open this letter a year from after I've died. They opened that letter up a year after he died. He said, I've come to know Jesus as the Messiah. And then he said, right before the Messiah comes, Israel would be ruled by two Benjamins. Last year, Benjamin Netanyahu and Benjamin Gantz ruled Israel. Yeah. That guy prophesied that in 2015. Yeah. So you got sign, 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 signal, 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 signal. One thing after another. What does it tell me? I'm about to be raptured. I believe... I've said it here probably 50 times, 20 times. I believe it'll be right before we're raptured. Pastor will go, you take the service 7 to 9, you take it 9 to 11, you take it 11 to 1, you take it 1 to 3, you take it 3 to 5, you take it 5 to 7, and we've got church going 24 hours a day. We've got people coming in going, what is this? We feel like something's up. Yeah, the coming of the Lord's drawing nigh. And all of a sudden, and we disappear, and all of the people that don't go, well, look at the UFOs came and got those people. And now the earth can transition into another, those stupid Christians that didn't like all the weird stuff are gone now. Now we can have all the weird stuff we want. You talk about the bridge being out. If kids can think they're cats now, what do you think is going to happen right after we leave? Meow. I mean, it's just we're there. So what does that tell you? Be a soul winner.
Yes.
Be a soul winner. Be kind. Be generous. Be a blessing to people. Yes. Be thoughtful. Yes. Unselfish. Yes. Let unselfishness and thoughtfulness rule your life. Yes. How can I bless somebody else? Yes. And when we see Jesus, those things will come up in you. Unselfishness and thoughtfulness. Yes. The epitome of unselfishness right there. Yes. Amen. Sure appreciate you coming today. I've gone a long time. I've gone an hour and 5 minutes. Is there anybody here you've not given your life to the Lord real quick before we go? Before we go, anyone at all, never given your life to the Lord, and we'll dismiss in just a moment. want to make sure. You may have come this morning. Maybe you came to hear Pastor Jim. Please come back if you're a visitor. Don't judge the church on end time preaching. The Lord gives him a diet to feed you to make you really, really strong. So come back. Anyone at all with the uplifted hand, say, pray for me. Pray for me. I'd like to give my life to the Lord. Anyone at all. Don't want to miss anybody. Had several people in Pittsburgh last week get saved. All right, sure glad you're saved. I had a couple words of knowledge come to me. I'll call them out. You can just get them right there in your seat. And you watch, we'll have a lot of miracles the next few days too. It'll be fun. This was you know how your kneecap, there's a word for it, patella, right underneath your kneecap. You got some kind of inflammation. Don't know what it is, but you're being healed right now. Praise God. The other one is I know you've heard it before many times, your tube from your ear to your nose. You normally think it's a baby, but there's an adult in here. You've got some kind of blockage in that station tube. Amen. You're healed. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We'll take that. We'll take it, Lord. Thank you so much. Praise God. And this other one may be common, and I'm almost reluctant to call out common things, but they end up getting healed. So, and I have the weirdest words of knowledge, but that's all right. This one's a lining in your lungs. You got some kind of film on your lungs. Don't know what that is, but you inhaled something. And your lungs are being made whole right now. Oh, and the other is whiplash. I think I have that every time I come to your church. You think, well, Joe, you have that every time. Well, there's all these people with whiplash. Yeah. Amen. Whoever had the whiplash, you're healed. Just move your neck around. Don't see if you're healed. See that you are healed. Somebody's got arthritis in your hip. The arthritis is leaving right now. Arthritis, you got to leave their hip right now, their socket. Thank you for that, Lord. Praise God. Let's thank Him for just a second because I really sense that pick up right then. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Lord, we're about to dismiss, but before we do, we want to make sure we don't miss a miracle. We thank you for skin being healed. Skin being healed in this room, Lord. Thank you for skin being restored and healed right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Someone's endocrine system. Thank you for that, Lord. Praise God. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it. Last week I was in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I had a word of knowledge. Someone had some kind of damage right here. I said, it's not under your arm, but it's right at the edge of your arm there. It's not your shoulder. And everybody started laughing. And I don't know what the deal is. A guy that everybody knew in the church was on a snowmobile. He came over this hill and was going to fly off this mountain and reached up and grabbed this tree and it ripped his pecs off of his, in his chest right there. The doctor did an MRI. Said, it's completely detached. I'm going to have to bolt it down. And so that's what it was. They were right there is where his pecs were ripped off of his chest. He got up in front of the whole church because they all knew it happened to him. That's why they were all laughing. He got up and started waving his arm right there. The last few, probably 6 months, I've had it where words of knowledge, people get healed. And while they're telling the testimony, other people start getting healed because it's almost like the Branham deal. When someone gets healed, everybody's faith rises and then more people start getting healed. It's so cool. I had a lady in Mattoon. The Lord told me there's someone had a metal plate in their head. Mattoon, Illinois, Ed and Mary Nell Stevens, the pastors. I said, someone's got a metal plate. I said, you're healed. This lady came walking up after the service. She goes, I have a loose screw. I said, well, we all got a loose screw. That's what she said to me. We're standing right there with Ed and Mary Nell, the pastor, right there. She goes, I got a loose screw. I said, what? I said, well, we all got a loose screw. She goes, no, I have a loose screw in my head. I go, what are you talking about? She goes, I'm the person with the metal plate. They want to take me back in and open this flap up and bolt that bolt down. I go, how do you know the screw's loose? She goes, I can shake my head. I can feel it loose. She said, when you called that out, I felt that bolt tighten down in my head.
Thank you.
Is that crazy? If you got a loose screw, he'll tighten your screw. Come on. Amen. That's crazy. Let's thank Him, and then we'll go, Lord, we thank You. Thank You for taking care of that lady's loose screw, Lord. Thank You. Thank You, thank You, thank You. Somebody's bladder's being healed. Praise God. Thank You. Thank You, thank You, thank You, Father. Yes. Somebody's pancreas is being healed. Father, thank You as their pancreas comes alive. Woo, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You. See, do you feel that? See, that's just Him. Lord, You're so kind to us. Thank You for being so kind to us, Lord. And that whiplash person, thank You for their disc and vertebrae being restored. Their sciatic nerves being healed too. Thank You for the sciatic nerve being restored. Thank You for that. Praise God. Praise God. You're so good to us. Thank You, thank You, thank You. Lord, You have all these radical workers in here to do Your will. Thank You for that, Lord. Praise God. Wow. Man, oh man. Woo, praise God. Thank You, Jesus. Guys, thanks for being so sweet and so reverent. You know, I've said that every time I come to your church, when the Lord starts moving, everybody's just, you're all in. So thank you. Thank you. It might be new to you or whatever, but just, it's cool to hang out and let the Lord heal on some folks. Amen. Someone's eyelids are being healed. That's weird. You're being healed. I'm serious. That's crazy as can be. Amen. Thanks for coming today. And then we'll come back tonight and we'll get into the seven sins of Sapphira. No, we won't do that. We'll get into a little more end times and we'll see. It's a real treat and honor to be with you. I'm just blessed. What a great celebration we had last year. Oh, yeah. Wasn't that fun? That was so great. So thank you for coming back today. And we'll come back. We'll see Pastor David and Pastor Michael, all these guys come tonight. They're so good. You're so blessed. I used to call David the BPITW. The best piano player in the world. So we'll enjoy getting to listen to them. So have a great afternoon. Give Pastor Jim a big hand as he comes. Thanks, Pastor Jim. Appreciate you coming today. Thank you.
And he starts sharing some of the words of knowledge that he has. It's always crazy enough that it's just hilarious. Praise God. We want to receive a love offering for our guest speaker before we dismiss. If you'd like an envelope for your giving, if you'll slip up your hands, the ushers will come and attend to you. You know, I always say that each service just gets gooder and gooder. Yeah. You know, he's just getting warmed up. Yeah. So don't miss any of these. Hallelujah. Ushers, come on up. Praise God. Father, we thank you this morning for the word we've received. And we thank you, Father, for this opportunity to sow into good soil. Father, we thank you that you have blessed.